But what does true wisdom from the Holy Spirit, that gift, what does that mean for us in our lives as Catholics?
Great question. As I mentioned earlier, St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, explains these gifts really well. And he says that wisdom is the greatest of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The first one in operation is usually fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And a succinct Thomistic definition of wisdom would be the following: to relish the things of God. If you like the biblical verse, taste and see the goodness of God. To relish the things of God. Therefore, how is this manifested in our lives? Well, if you have a desire to pray, that's a manifestation of wisdom. If you have a desire to go to Mass and to listen to the Word of God and to the explanation of the Word of God, that's also the gift of wisdom. If you have a desire to open up the Bible and to read the Gospels, you have a real hunger and thirst in reading the Word of God, and you're relishing the Word of God, and like the Blessed Virgin Mary, you're pondering the Word of God in your heart. That's a manifestation also of wisdom. If someone says, you know, there's an opening so you can make a weekend retreat in preparation for Pentecost, and your spouse gives you permission, you make a weekend retreat, you're looking forward to that weekend retreat the whole week because, you know, in that retreat, you're going to hear some good talks. You'll be able to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You'll be able to pray your rosary. You'll be able to make a good confession to cleanse your soul. That's a manifestation of wisdom also. Or you start to read the lives of the saints. The saints were the ones who were really open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially wisdom. Those are manifestations of wisdom. Now, the opposite of wisdom would be that of folly. And I think the best biblical verse I've come across manifesting the opposite of wisdom is the parable of the rich fool. It's a parable in which a man has an abundant harvest, and he doesn't know what to do because there's no space in his barns. So he does some brainstorming and comes to the conclusion that he's going to have to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And then he says, my soul, relax. Eat, drink, and live it up because you have a long life to live. Jesus says to this man, you're a fool because this very day your life will be taken. Therefore, two other verses that help us to understand the gift of wisdom is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you beside. And what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lose his soul? One human example I'd like to give is this. Try to imagine, Josh, that you say to your kids, okay, behave well, and me and Mom are going to be taking you to Baskin-Robbins. So you get in your car, and your kids are they're just waiting to get to Baskin-Robbins, and they order a double-decker, okay? And you can see them relishing that ice cream cone. So as they relish the ice cream cone, the gift of wisdom is when we relish all these things that are related to God, prayer, the sacraments, meditation on the Word of God, making a good retreat. So this is the foundation for all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit, that of wisdom. That's where Thomas Aquinas says wisdom actually perfects charity, and charity happens to be the greatest of all the virtues. We're going to be judged at the end of our life on whether or not we've loved God or not. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, an explanation of the gift of wisdom.
Sure. So now, looking at that then, there's that and the other two, understanding and knowledge, that you explained inform our intellect. How would you, I mean, when I think of those three, they all three seem very, very kind of intertwined together. You know, they're talking about the same thing maybe from different angles as I'm thinking about it, but I don't know if that's correct. What differentiates understanding sure. and knowledge from wisdom?
Yes, Josh, as a catechist for many years, explaining the difference between the gifts, it's hard work. But understanding would be this. I'll give you a biblical example. Okay, the apostles are, rather the disciples in Luke chapter 24, are walking toward Emmaus. And they're walking, they're confused, they're somewhat depressed. And Jesus comes, and what he does is he listens to them, then he opens up his mouth and explains the biblical verses that referred to him. So they're walking in darkness and in desolation when they're heading toward Emmaus. But when Jesus comes and walks with them, he listens to them, and then he explains the Word of God to them. That would be understanding. Then, after they see Jesus present in the breaking of the bread, so they got up and they went back to Jerusalem, and they tell the apostles that they saw Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and their hearts burned within them. As they're speaking, Jesus appears to them and says, Shalom. And then Jesus, it says that Jesus opened up their minds so that they could understand the Word of God. So understanding is related to understanding the Word of God, the Bible, but also in understanding doctrine, understanding our catechism. So that would be understanding. Now, knowledge is the following. It's having the mystical eyes to be able to see God present in nature, as well as in the circumstances of our life. For example, Josh, think about what you love most in nature. One of the things I love is I just love the sun. If I look at the sun rising, it makes me think about Jesus rising from the dead. It makes me think about me elevating the host in the Mass. So behind the sun, I can see a Eucharistic symbol. Or the sun is basically, it's a ball of fire. When I look at the sun, I think about, in physics, the sun has two properties. It has light and heat. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does in us. He enlightens our intellect so that we can know the truth, and he sets our hearts on fire with the love of God. So the person that has the gift of knowledge is able to see God present in nature, but also he's able to see God present in the circumstances of our life. I've told people more than once, if you want to get me angry, say, good luck, Father Broom. I don't believe in luck.
Right.
I believe in what is called divine providence. Nothing happens by chance. So if you have the gift of knowledge, you are a contemplative in action, and as the Greek poet that St. Paul quotes, in him we live and move and have our being. That you're living in the presence of God, and the things that happen, the natural beauty, you can see behind the beauty of creation, you can see the Creator himself, and then things that happen in your life, joys but also crosses, you're able to come to the awareness that God is behind that. So those are the three of the virtues that perfect the intellect. And I'm glad you asked it because it's not always easy to differentiate between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Well, and then let's kind of go back to what you were talking about. You know, we have these gifts, we have to be willing to exercise them. So let's say that I'm somebody who, you know, I want to grow in wisdom, and I want to grow in that understanding. I want to grow in that knowledge, but I'm not sure where to start. obviously we can pray. We can pray that, you know, Holy Spirit, guide me to where I can exercise these and I can grow in these gifts that you have given me, with which you've blessed me. What are some other practical things that we can do in our lives to help grow in these gifts?
Good question. The first thing I would say is this, and I spend a lot of time doing this every day, is sometimes these gifts might be stagnant or stultified or even paralyzed because we might not be in the state of grace. So if we commit, you know, a mortal sin, we actually lose the state of grace. So I think making a good sacramental confession, and it wouldn't be a bad idea sometime during this week in which we're in the novena to the Holy Spirit, to make a good sacramental confession. Because a sacramental confession basically cleanses the interior window pane of our soul, such that these gifts of the Holy Spirit can become much more operative. The next I would say is very, very important that we cultivate a prayer life. One of the verses that I like most related to the Holy Spirit in prayer is St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 8. Here's the great apostle Paul who says, "We do not know how to pray as we ought, but it's the Holy Spirit that intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Abba, which means Father." Then I never tire in insisting upon Catholic Christians that are interested in really growing in their spiritual life. We all have to have some type of periodic spiritual direction. Because if we don't have spiritual direction, we all have blind spots. And I think a good spiritual director can help us to make a real concerted effort to grow in our spiritual life. And the last thing I would say is part of the charism of the Oblates is we try to promote reading good literature, is to read a really good book on the Holy Spirit. And one of the books that I fell upon about 3 years ago is by the author Jacques Philippe. Maybe you've heard of him, Jacques Philippe. And he wrote a really good book, and it's called The School of the Holy Spirit. And the essence of that book, The School of the Holy Spirit, is if we want to become saints, then we have to be docile. Okay, not resistant. We have to be docile to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So those are some of the ways, and I think Josh, you're going to be bringing this up a little bit later, but I never tire of trying to insist upon the relationship between Mary and the Holy Spirit.
Because right.
Mary is the daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, and Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. So that would be 5 or 6 suggestions to help us to really open up to the Holy Spirit.